We extend to you a warm-hearted welcome from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders on this third Sunday of Lent. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
How do you handle temptation when it comes your way? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. It's centered around the thought of temptation because our Lord Jesus endured such great temptation. And certainly it has something to say to us as we find ourselves in the Lenten season. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, once again, as we center our thoughts in your word, there is one great truth that comes forth from that word to us, and that is you love us. You have loved us so much that you have gone to the cross to die for our sins. And Lord, when we look at our lives, and we see how easily we fall into temptation, that we need a Savior, one who will first forgive us our sins, and then one who will strengthen us that we might overcome some of our sins. Today, Lord, we pray that as we experience that power of Satan that so often is found round about us, and we do yield to those temptations, that we may turn back to your word and find there sufficient grace in all matters. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand up on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, each time I read the story of Jesus being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, I recall my days in the seminary, and one in particular. I was enrolled in a class known as New Testament Exegesis. We were studying from the Greek, the Gospel of St. Matthew, and the assignment would always be, come prepared to translate, and then to expound on certain very important words in the text, and also to note some of the sentence construction that could affect the meaning of the text. So it was always a class that you jolly well prepared yourself for. As we went into the classroom on that particular day, a good friend of mine said, "I'm only hoping that this is not the day that the professor will call on me, for I am not prepared. I have not even looked at that portion of the Word of God, which happened to be the temptations of Jesus." I couldn't really meet his expectation this day. Well, you can just imagine what happened. You're right. He came into the class, and after we had settled down and the session was usually opened with prayer, the professor looked at him and he said, "Mr. So-and-so, would you translate for us today and give recognition to the particular words and the sentence construction that should be talked about?" And my friend, who was a rather quick thinker, he was not the best student in the class, but he was a quick thinker, said to him, "Dr. So-and-so, I would like to ask if we could first discuss some question that is a little bit more broad than just some of the word constructions, etc. And the professor said, "What do you have in mind?" The student went on to say, "Could Jesus really have fallen?" "Why do you ask that?" the professor said. "Well, we know that he was the divine Son of God. And if he's divine, can he sin? And if he had sinned, then would not his death been only for his own sins and not for the sins of the world? I know he's human, but do you think that he could have sinned since he is also divine?" The professor smiled and said, "I suggest to you that we discuss this question today." And he allowed the whole period for those of us in the class to bring forth our own questions and our own feelings. And obviously we came to the place where we believe that Jesus could have fallen because he was true man. And he wouldn't be true man if he couldn't have fallen. And so the good professor said, "Yeah, we'll discuss it." And we talked about it and talked about the other temptations that Jesus had. And there were so many of them during that three-year ministry that finally led him to the cross. When the period was over and we were walking out, my friend said, "You know, I feel a little bit sheepish, but I really think this is one of the best discussions that we have had in this particular class this year." It was much more beneficial for the class than listening to a student translate the Greek into English. How important it is, friend, that we understand that our Lord could well have fallen and that he was tempted in every stretch of the imagination. He tasted of what temptation really was. That is important for you and for me. For the writer of the book of Hebrews has said it so well, that we have a high priest who has been in all points tempted as we are, yet without sinning. I have a God who knows what it is to be tempted. Isn't that fantastic? And see how he can reach out to you and me when we are tempted and say, "Lean on me. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to confront this temptation with your own strength. Lean on me." And let's see how Jesus handled some of these temptations in the wilderness. The Bible says to us that he was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after he had been there for 40 days, and during that time he had had nothing to eat, Satan comes with the first temptation. "If you are the Son of God, why don't you tell these stones to become bread? After all, you've been without food, no food at all. For 40 days, your stomach has got to be crying out for food. God would not want you to be without that food. Go ahead and take it." It was a temptation that came to Jesus' appetite. And our Lord turned around and said to him, "Man does not live by bread alone." And let's just stop here for a moment, and perhaps for those of us who are well-fed Americans, we don't have to talk about the appetite of the stomach. But how many other appetites do we not have? They're with us all the time. And as they attack us in one way or the other, we have a Savior who says, "I understand. I know what an appetite can do to you, not only physically, but also emotionally. I know exactly Satan's approach. That is your Savior. That is your God who loves you so much, he gets right into the middle of this whole discussion between you and Satan and said, "Lean on me. Lean on me." Well, a bit later, Satan takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, to the very highest spot. And he said, you've learned along the way somewhere something that I believe you really need to test. Are you really the Son of God? Are you really the one who can expect the Father in heaven to make you secure in every last thing that goes on in your life? Well, here's an opportunity for you to have that security, and certainly you'll need that security if you're going out in this old world. Throw yourself down and see if he doesn't just lift you up. And if he does and nothing happens to you when you're thrown down, then you will know for sure that you are the Son of God. And Jesus turns and he says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. How easy it is for Satan to tempt us in these ways. Prove that he is God. How often has that not been said in intellectual discussions? God has got to expect you to have some rational proof that he is all that he says he is, or how can he expect you to believe him? That's a temptation that we all have. Doesn't matter who we are. Those temptations simply come. Our Savior knows about it. He understands. He has been tempted just as we have been. And he was victorious over Satan. Well, then finally, Satan must have thought, I got him now. And so he took him up into the mountains. And there he showed him the city. Look at all of the wealth that is down there, he said. Look at those beautiful homes and palaces where some of them live. Wouldn't you like to have a life like that? You know, you're not going to be on this earth very long, and while you're here, you ought to have it comfortable. And you can, if you really will do but one thing. He says, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all of this. And Jesus came back and said, away with me, Satan, away from me. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the Bible says that the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. We have a Savior who understands. Aren't you thankful to God that you don't have a Savior who can't be tempted, who can't figure out what we're going through? But that is not the Savior. We have one who does know what we're going through. And then page through some of these last chapters in the life of Jesus. You know, there were so many ways that he was tempted. What do you think would have been a natural reaction if there he stood in the garden and that character by the name of Judas, who had been with Jesus for 3 years and had all the privileges in the world to know him better, came up and planted a kiss on his cheek, showing to the enemy that this was the Lord, and then collecting 30 pieces of silver, 30 lousy pieces of silver. Well, there would have been a tremendous temptation if you just let your emotions go, to hate that fellow, to be angry at him. What are you trying to do, Judas? You know, we get a little bit of that perhaps when sometimes somebody has done something to betray us, to talk behind our backs, to not be honest in the whole situation. to say something and then deny it later on. Jesus understands at that particular time what you and I are going through. There must have been tremendous disappointment when that night he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he chose those three out of the 11 who were left to go with him into the inner garden and be with him and pray for him while he was praying that God would be with him through all of this, and if possible, that all of the suffering could be taken away. And when he came back, three times they were asleep. And his heart could have said, and he could have been angry and hatred again, or whatever else it might have been, "And you were the ones who said you would stand with me." Oh, when we have circumstances like that, no, they're never like that, but circumstances where we feel the betrayal and the denial of those who supposedly are to love us the most, that we have a Savior who understands. Our temptations are here as Christians, aren't they? For example, one of the greatest temptations that comes to us today as individual Christians and also to the church at large is this temptation of follow the crowd. Oh, we don't put it that way. We have to be attentive to the demands and the thought process of our culture. Well, what a temptation that is. That I've got to know what my culture is and try to minister within that culture and give way to my culture whenever it's necessary. We're told that again and again. But we are reminded by our Lord Jesus Christ that we are to be the salt of the earth. And now we are being told in the name of God sometimes, even within the church, or at least within some of the discussions, that we are to be salted by our culture. And the law of God does not stand in the sense that it's as it is, but we come back with our phony understanding, well, we've got to put our own interpretation upon it. And we've got to let other parts of Scripture throw its light in there, even though we know from the beginning to the end that what that word of God has said is true. But there's a temptation. There's a temptation. Well, I want to see the people in the church, and the only way they're going to be in the church is if we will just relax a little bit. And after all, do you want to be gospel-led, or do you want to be law-led, and all of this foolishness that we're hearing about in our day and age? God knows the temptation that we go through. He understands he has been tempted that way himself. The temptation that homes in America can have today, when you have an unbelieving spouse, and it's very difficult for you to live with him or her, and somebody says, well, what you better do is get rid of him or her and see what they're doing to your children. And so the marriage is broken up. And that when you're making that decision, you have a Savior who understands. He'll forgive you if you have sinned. He'll empower you to overcome that sin. Jesus' example is before us. How did he resist Satan? By quoting God's word. What does this tell us? It tells us that our souls should be so saturated with the word of God that we do not fall for Satan's word. It's a mighty important portion of God's word. He is with us in our hour of temptation. Well, do you think the old professor knew what the student was up to? We never knew. He didn't say. I think he was. He was a smart old person. But I believe that as he packed up his briefcase and walked down the hill that day to his home, there was in his heart sort of a chuckling. Perhaps more was accomplished there at that classroom than if I had listened to that poor student stumble through his translation. For they have learned, and God grant that they may take it with them and out into their parish, the temptation will ever be theirs, but God will be with them. Amen.
Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, conquer, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through.
Father, you prayed that we would not walk into temptation. Lead and guide us, will you, O Lord? Help us that we do not yield to temptation, for we know that is sin. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will guide and comfort you in the week ahead. As a nonprofit ministry, we are supported by gifts from our listeners. We are especially grateful for our Gift Every Month GEM Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. Our contributors are truly special in this important ministry. We thank each of you for your gifts and your prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is ChristianCrusaders.org. That's ChristianCrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 42 years.